Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. I'm grateful to be speaking with Antonio Lopez. He is the Animal Care Supervisor at Humane Society of Sedona. And I was grateful enough to be able to talk with you guys. I was in Sedona about a month ago and I checked out the facility. Amazing facility you guys have there. And I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to you. Go ahead and introduce yourself about your organization, and we can kind of go from there.
Hi, my name is Antonio Lopez. I'm the Animal Care Supervisor with the Humane Society of Sedona. I've been working with them for a number of years now, and been very fortunate to experience kind of the community we have out there and the support we get. Our facility is kind of a smaller one. Right now, we only have about 26 kennels on the dog adoption floor, and cat numbers fluctuate from, 30 to 40 to 15. We move cats very quickly. We're very fortunate with that. We got a smaller facility, but we're able to give quite a bit of care because of that.
Yeah. And how many animals do you guys, usually save per year if you have those stats?
It's right around 600, a little bit less. And off of that, we've started some new programs that we're currently kind of metricing as well that help animals without them coming to the facility. So we're trying to figure out a way to kind of get those numbers in there as well, but right around 600 or so.
That's interesting. And for anyone who isn't familiar with Sedona, I know that you guys are a couple hours away from Phoenix. Do you deal with animals from Phoenix? And I mean, and for anyone listening who doesn't know Phoenix, I mean, it's an absolutely huge city. So I was just wondering, do you guys deal with that at all?
We do. We deal with quite a bit of animals. We don't see many surrenders or strays in our area. With our community being a smaller one, it's kind of more of a retirement community or vacation community. So we don't see a lot of strays or owner surrenders through there. But we do work with a lot of our smaller rescue partners all over Arizona, far northern Arizona, up in St. John, and down in the Phoenix area as well. We work with a number of shelters down there and pulling animals in, trading them out, kind of moving them around to get better adoptions. If we get a big dog in, big dogs don't tend to move, but we send them down to the Phoenix area and they move within a week.
Whoa. Okay. So there's a little bit of arbitrage there where you might send dogs to Phoenix and they might get adopted a little bit quicker.
Yeah. If we send them down to Phoenix, they might get adopted a little bit quicker, or they might have dogs that have been sitting there for a while and send a couple down our way and they get adopted within a couple of weeks with us. So it kind of, we trade out with other shelters. We have a pretty good connection with all the shelters in the area and are able to reach out to each other and say, hey, we got this, we're not being able to move them. Are you able to move them? Or, hey, we got a huge overflow of cats down here. Are you able to move them? So we kind of trade animals back and forth between the shelters, but we do a lot of bringing into our facility.
That's interesting. And I'm curious too, what are some common issues that you guys face in the Sedona area? Are there common geographical issues? What's that like?
In our area, the biggest issues we face, we see a lot of animals from up northern Arizona area, dogs especially, that are just kind of free roaming. People will be driving through, the Flagstaff area, which is about 40 minutes away from us, and find dogs, et cetera, bring them down to us. So we see a lot of that coming through, people finding dogs on their travels and bringing them down to us. We try to discourage that because if somebody's looking for their pet, they're not going to come down to Sedona if they were 40 minutes away in Flagstaff. So we try to discourage it as much as possible. As of this last year, we've seen a lot of community cats. We've had a huge boom of community cats in the area. Strays, you know, just ferals that have been around for a while, and people are finally starting to do a TNR and try and get them in.
Yeah, and I'm curious too, when it comes to, you mentioned Flagstaff, and it's so much colder than Sedona, and then you go south of Sedona and it's so much warmer. Does that affect anything, just being so kind of being around so many different types of climates? I feel like, do you see anything like that, like animals conditions based on that weather, like extreme weather or anything?
Up northern, you will get, if they get loose, like dogs get loose or there's cats that get away up northern Arizona, it's so wooded, hard to find the animals up there. So we do get a few dogs in that are just been out running for a while and are very thin and, you know, had some health issues from it. Another thing we see a lot at our shelter is upper respiratory infection from cats up there. In the cold weather, their immune system gets compromised and they crash and they end up with upper respiratory infection or kennel cough from down in the Phoenix area because it's so packed and dense. We see a lot of dogs come from that way. So we kind of have it both sides, where each side we see different, we know what kind of to expect from it. So we know we're getting dogs from over here, we need to start treating them for this as soon as they come in, or monitoring for it. We're getting cats from here, we need to start monitoring for it.
Awesome. Okay, that makes sense. And I wanted to ask you too, when I was there, I know that they mentioned, you know, just partnering with local businesses and just establishing that sense of community. Are there any, what are the pros with partnering with local businesses? And then I want to extend that to, are there any cons? Like, does it limit you guys at all? Or I'm curious about that.
So far, we have not had any limitations. We are our big industry in Sedona is the resort industry. We have a lot of hotels, resorts, that sort of thing. We partnered with a number of them. And what really helps us is when they get old sheets that are just stained and worn, they send them down our way and we can use those for the dogs, the kennels, puppies. We go through sheets like crazy for puppies. They make such huge messes. But we end up with quite a bit of materials from those businesses and then donations. We have little donation canisters everywhere. So we get quite a bit coming through. You know, we're trying to be seen as a community resource and not just, you know, by ourselves. So we're helping out with them. If anybody ever comes into a business and needs help with an animal or is looking for an animal, a lot of these businesses are pointing them our direction, sending them over to do an adoption or, you know, come check us out.
Yeah. And when I visited too, I was shown the pantry that it's kind of like you guys use it to feed your animals as well as sometimes even people in your community that need pet food. You kind of tap into that. And I was really impressed by that. I thought that was great. You guys had like a nice little stash of stuff. And is that part of what you just mentioned, those kind of donation, those donation drop-offs? Is that where you guys get that from? Or do you partner with companies as well that donate to you? What's that like?
Yeah. So it's kind of a little bit of everything. So we use kind of the donation money to purchase some foods if we need specialty food, but we are partnered with our local PetSmart. And anytime they have food that, you know, it's not selling or it's been sitting there for a while, they're redoing their stock and it's not expired or anything, they'll send it our way. And we're able to take that in and use it to distribute to the community. If somebody's, you know, hard times and just in between paychecks and needs a bag of food for their animals rather than surrendering them, they're able to get a bag of food for their animals and get through those times and, you know, keep their pets in their home. So we're able to kind of tap into that.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool. And I'm curious too, what are some things that that you guys are working on in the pipelines or I guess combating some of the issues you're facing in the Sedona area? What's that like for you guys?
Right now, we just started it, so we're very excited about it, is a community low-cost spay and neuter. So we've partnered with a couple of our local veterinarians that are working with us and helping us to get some of the animals in the area that spayed and neutered that otherwise wouldn't, you know, because of the cost or whatever it might be, or, you know, people are just a little afraid to and they don't have all the information they need. We're able to give them that information, get them on a list and get them in and get their animals taken care of and, you know, possibly vaccinated as well if they're not vaccinated. And offset some of those veterinary costs and those health concerns they might have and kind of reduce the population of animals in the community. If a, you know, cat was an outside cat, we're able to get him fixed and sent back out to where he was without having any issues.
And I'm curious too. I guess I'm not 100% familiar with the weather scenario in Sedona, but I know it plays into like breeding seasons, like depending on the environment there. And what does that look like for Sedona in terms, like, is it just year long, pretty much like battling cat population, overpopulation, dog population, or is it more cyclical?
So it used to be our springtime was like the big, we knew coming up into the March, April time, we're going to see a lot of kittens. It has not stopped this last year. We've had kittens all year. Normally we, you know, have a lull, we have adult cats, and then we see a big influx of kittens litter after litter. This last year, it has nonstop been kittens all year, which is unusual for us, like you said, because the weather, you know, plays into it. But for whatever reason, we're seeing it all year long. We're getting puppies. We've had, you know, reaching out for mom and puppies from other shelters all around us. We're trying to help them, you know, find other shelters that can take them. Unfortunately, we're only able to take one at a time or two at a time, depending on because of our space. So we currently have one in right now, but I think this last, you know, couple of weeks, we've had probably 6 reach outs for moms and puppies. You know, I've heard of shelters that we partner with getting 60 puppies in just the last couple of weeks. So it's been a year round battle for all the shelters in Arizona.
Yeah. So it's been pretty full then. Like, you guys have been pretty full with animals, it sounds like.
Yes, we've been very full with animals. We'll go through maybe a week where we don't have any animals. We've reached out to all our partners because that's what we'll do. We'll have our animals, you know, get adopted out. We'll have some time without any animals. We'll reach out to all our partners. Nobody needs help at the time. Very next week, so we're maybe empty for a week, if that, or not empty, but low for about a week. And then we start seeing animals coming in. We're seeing more requests too for out of area surrenders. Somebody reached out to us all the way from Nevada to surrender their animal because their shelters were full. So we're seeing it from across, you know, across state lines. Even we're getting surrender requests. So we're starting to see more and more coming up here.
Wow. And yeah, I'm curious too, where, how does that work in a town that you mentioned, you know, there, and I was there too. It's definitely has some tourism to it, yet it's still a smaller community. So when, you know, being full with animals, is this mainly like community and local communities that are getting these animals? Are there, you know, travelers that are picking up animals? What is that like? And is that a challenge at all ever?
Had a few people traveling through that have adopted. I think the furthest we've adopted out, as of late in the last few years, was Florida. Somebody was just coming to drop donations off, saw one of the dogs being walked and fell in love, did a meet and greet, adopted him and drove back to Florida with him and has been doing great. But most of our animals are getting adopted out from outlying communities. So like Flagstaff area, we get a lot of people coming down from Flagstaff that are adopting. We've gotten people from Phoenix, Prescott, which is another, you know, 30 minutes away, almost towards Phoenix, but not quite. So we get people adopting from kind of all over the smaller communities. We have a really good reputation around us. You know, most people that reach out to us for surrenders from way down in Phoenix area or anything have reached out because they've heard great things about our facility, which we love to hear. So they're reaching out because they know, you know, the kind of care their animal would get, and they know it's going to be a good place for them.
Yeah. And I think that's amazing that you guys have that type of reputation. I'm curious if you had to say, if there was one issue that you could eliminate or try and solve, I guess, what would that be for you guys?
There was one issue. That's a bit of a tough one.
I know. Yeah,
it is. I mean, there's a few issues that we're kind of working on everything with it. The one issue I wish we, if in our facility, I wish we had a team to work with behavior animals. We have a great cat behaviorist on staff. We have a girl that's going through training for dog behavior. So we're getting there. We're a small group downstairs that works hands-on with the animals. There's about 9 of us at, you know, not at one given day. There's only about 3 to 4 people downstairs caring for all the animals at a time. But if we could work on the behavior aspect of everything, because we are seeing more and more behavior cases, you know, animals that are shy, scared, or more complex behaviors, you know, we try to work with them as best we can, but then we end up having to reach out to other teams that have a behavior staff to be able to work with them. So that's the one thing I wish we could really get something going for.
Yeah, I think that's such a big issue too. And one of the people there, they did a great job kind of like letting me know too, that those animals that are in the, it could be the nicest animal rescue facility, which you guys have an amazing facility, but if they're there long enough, it's not a home, and they can actually, like, it could be a good animal, and then these kind of behavioral patterns will just kind of emerge if they're there too long to begin with. So I think that's really interesting, and I think it's a huge part, like, problem that many rescues face, having that proper training. So yeah, I think that's a great point that you brought up.
Yeah, we do a great job of seeing that kind of lesson, the kind of breakdown happening in our kennels, because we do tons of enrichment, we're very kind of progressive in that way, where there's new research out, we'll try something new and see if it works. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, we tried it, it didn't work for us, we'll, you know, see how it runs for a while. We got one of our staff members found little music boxes for the animals, and we have those playing throughout the kennels. Another thing we kind of changed in recent times is the kind of appointment process. We used to have people just walking through the kennels. We went to appointments with, you know, COVID and everything happening. We kind of had the facility on lockdown for a while because of the uncertainty of what was going on. And we kind of stuck with it because we started to see that the animals were more relaxed with the appointment process. Rather than have some stranger walking through the kennels every 10 minutes, people could come in, meet an animal, and it didn't affect our adoption rates. Our adoption rates were still the same. So we decided, let's stick with it. If it's better for the animals, why not?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that says a lot too, just being able to like pivot and adapt and stuff like that. I think that's, just seeing something working and doubling down on that. That's great. And I wanted to know too, I mean, where can people follow along and just see what you guys are doing? I know you guys do an amazing, amazing job with the pictures. So, like, your guys' photography, absolutely stellar, by the way, on your social media. So
we have a great social media person, our cat behavior. So since it's a small team, a lot of us wear two or three different hats. Our cat person is actually our social media person as well. And she does a great job, like, really capturing the photos and like the story of the animal without it being too soppy and, you know, making you cry too much, but really getting you involved with the animal. So we have a huge following on social media on Facebook as the Humane Society of Sedona. We also have a YouTube channel started, the Humane Society of Sedona, where our cat person's gone over a lot of cat behavior things. So there's not a lot of information out there on cat behavior. So she's done a great job of making videos and showing the process of working with a cat and, you know, what you need to do in a shelter environment or in a home environment to get them to a point where they're feeling comfortable and doing it properly without, you know, stumbling through life and trying to find something. So she's done a great job of that. So our Facebook page, we got YouTube, and then also our Humane Society of Sedona.org. All our animals are up on there. And there's a bunch of resources on there as well. A resource page. That was something else we started, is a resource page on teaching you how to properly look for a home for your animal if you do have to rehome them. We want to be seen as a resource, not a last resort. I think a lot of people looked at a Humane Society as, I've tried everything, I just have to give them up and that's where I go. Where we're able to provide food, maybe provide some behavior support, you know, something basic, potty training or something else, give you in the right direction for it. Or, maybe help you rehome your pet yourself. So that way they don't have to come into a shelter and be uncertain. They're able to go from one home to another. And it's a lot of an easier process for the animal. You know, we don't get anything out of it, but if it's better for the animals, that's what we're about.
Yeah, that's great. And I forgot that the lady you showed me around, I forget her name. She did tell me that you guys did that. And I think that's amazing that you're trying to not just be a place for animals to come, but you're trying to prevent the animals from even showing up there. It's like, hey, here's what you can do in the meantime. And that's absolutely amazing. And all the social media, wherever you're listening to that, whether it's iTunes, YouTube, whatever, that'll be down below. And Antonio, I want to thank you for coming on and just, you know, sharing about Humane Society Sedona. I think what you guys are doing over there is, like you said, you're very progressive. And I think you guys are paving the way for a lot of animal rescues from what I've seen. So, yeah, thanks a lot for coming on.
Of course. Yeah, we're really trying to shift the model to not just be we're trying to be about the animals, but we want to support the people with the animals as well. That's what we're really striving for, is to be able to support the people that are caring for the animal and the animal, you know, in whole. So that way we're, you know, like I said, a resort, not a last resort, but a resource for people.
Exactly. And wherever you're listening, check out that resource down below. I know I follow you guys on a few of your platforms. Thanks again, Antonio, for coming on. It was a pleasure getting to speak with you.
Of course. Thank you for having us.